So we are going through this series that we are calling When Jesus Meets Someone Like You. Today, we'll be talking about when Jesus meets someone like you, the person who is heartbroken, Jesus meets the heartbroken. So I ask you guys to stand up as we read the Word of God together this morning. And we're in John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw the angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go inside to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Lord, we thank you for the good news. We thank you for you rose from the dead. We thank you for resurrection. Just shows that you, God, are involved in our lives, God. And we say thank you for your goodness. And we pray, Lord, as we share this word together, Lord, we pray that we would hear your voice this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. Heartbreaks happen to anyone. Every single one of us at some point in our lives we have experienced or we will experience heartbreak, and our hearts will be broken because there's just a lot of things that happen in this life that break our hearts. And heartbreak is when our reality is not the same as our expectation, when our expectations are crushed, and that we had hoped for this great relationship, but now it fails, and we are thinking of what it could have been like, and we're hoping for this job opportunity, but it vanishes, and it's gone, and your heart breaks, and you were hoping to get this interview, but never came through. Maybe you have lost somebody who is dear to you, your loved one, and your heart is broken. Or maybe you tried to apply for a scholarship and you did everything that you could, but nothing came through and your heart is crushed. Or maybe you have received news from the doctors telling you of a disease that you will live with forever. Maybe you have fears of death. Maybe you're living a life of shame and guilt because of something that you have done. We have all these things that are happening in our lives. And, heartbreak will happen to every single one of us. We will be broken. And these things make us feel sad. And sometimes they make us feel helpless. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, I am a failure. there's nothing I can do. And sometimes you even think that maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. In 2016, we had a young girl from this church by the name of Mwai. She came to our office at Flood office at ABC. And she said, this week I've been having backaches, and I was working in Salima, but I had to come back to Lilongwe because of these pains, and it's been recommended that I should be seeing a physio because she couldn't sit right. And it just happened all of a sudden. She was, I think, getting ready to go to work, and she had bent over, and when she tried to get up, she wouldn't. She just felt this ache, like excruciating pain that she cannot shed off, and she began crying. And the maid came and carried her to the clinic. So she had now been transferred to, she came here to Lilongwe, and she said, you know what, I'm a bit bored. I want to be, even though I'm seeing a physio, but I want to be coming here and be working sometimes. And we said, oh, sure, if you want to come and work here at Flood and volunteer, sure enough, you could do that. So she started coming to our office, and she did a fantastic work for probably like 3 weeks. And we noticed that the fourth week she was not coming. And so we asked, hey, what's going on, Mwai? What's happening? And she says, oh, I've gone for a checkup. So I'm in Blantyre at the moment. And I'm waiting for the results. And the news came. And the news came that she had a lump and that she had cancer. And so this was breast cancer. And she was told with the doctors that now she has to go through, the treatment, chemo. And, just looking at this vibrant young person and, who was always on her feet. And just within a period of a month, just everything turned around and changed. And last week, she's in Zomba at the moment. Last week, I went to Zomba to speak with her. And she has just so much faith in her. It's just amazing to see what God is doing in her life. But she was just telling me that the week before then, they also found another lump in her other breast, and she has to go through the treatment again. And my heart sank. And when these hard things happen to us, three questions come up. The first question is why? Why is this thing happening to me? Why? Why me? That's the first question that we ask. And the second question that we ask is, where is God? Where is God in this? Where is He? And the last question that we ask is, will this pain end? Will this pain end? And the why question, often God does not answer, because there's just a lot of reasons why God would allow something to happen to us. So He does not really answer, does not really give us answers. But the last two questions, where is God? Probably last week we looked into this when we are in dark times, that actually God is with us there. And will this pain end? And we see that God answers that in Scripture. And I think when our hearts are broken, we are prone to believing that this pain will never end, because this pain is so real. And we're also prone to think that, our sense of meaning is lost because we have lost this thing that we had. And now it's gone. This opportunity is gone. My health is gone. That thing is gone. And therefore, a part of us is lost. So we feel like there is no hope for us. But through the resurrection, we see that God is actually involved in our affairs. And God is so close to the brokenhearted, isn't He? God is so close to the brokenhearted, because a broken heart is an open heart. Is an open heart. And God is close to an open heart. He's close to the brokenhearted. And the Bible is full of stories of people that were broken, and they met Jesus, and God worked through their own pain, through their own suffering. And now we see the story here. Mary Magdalene, as far as women are concerned in the Scripture, she's the one talked most about in Scripture, but we also know less about her. We know that Jesus Christ delivered her from seven demons We know about that. But we also know that she was going around with Jesus Christ and saving the disciples and him, which is just the reality, isn't it? If you put 12 men together and feel like they will be fine, no, probably they need some women to help them. And they needed that. They needed Mary. Mary was one of them that helped the disciples and Jesus. And she saved Jesus Christ and saved the disciples. So she has seen Jesus Christ from with the time that he began his ministry. She saw his ministry. And you know, on the cross, you remember the story? The Bible says that all the disciples ran away except for one. And Mary was also there. So she saw what was going on, the pain that Jesus Christ was experiencing until to his final breath. She was there. She saw what was going on. So her heart was so close, to Jesus Christ, and she loved him dearly. She loved him dearly. And Jesus dies, and he is buried, and she goes on the third day to go and to see Jesus Christ. And in other passages, not talked about in John, but you see that she had some sort of perfume that she was going to go and put on Jesus. And she sees that actually, you know, the stone has been rolled away. The stone that was there on the grave has been rolled away, and Jesus Christ is no longer there. So she goes, tells the disciples, Peter and John, and they run in order to confirm what has happened. And sure enough, they believe that Christ is no longer there, and they leave. But Mary is there, and she is crushed, and she is crying. And, you know, the one that she loved dearly is no longer there. And, you know, all these hopes and dreams, I feel like now they are gone. So she's crying. And in her crying, she looks in the tomb and she sees two angels, one sitting at the feet of Jesus, where Jesus was lying, and another at the head. And this symbolizes in the Old Testament, you remember the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, when it was made, they had an angel on one side and an angel on the other side. So that's kind of like the symbolic or spiritual symbolic thing there that the disciples had created through the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. But the angels ask her, "Why are you crying? Mary, why are you crying?" In fact, they say, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And she says, "You know what? I'm looking for Jesus, and I cannot see him. I don't know where they have put him." And then she turns around, and she sees Jesus Christ and standing there, and she thinks, not him, because now probably looks different. And not because his face is disfigured, because he's been beaten a lot, but no. You know, this has transformed Jesus Christ, but you know, she looks at him thinking he's a god, and I say, "Sir, if you have taken him, please take me to him so I can bring him back." And Jesus says, "Mary." Just like that. "Mary." Just like that. And she realizes it is him. So she says, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Teacher." And she goes and clings to him. And Jesus says, "Actually, do not cling to me, because I'm yet to ascend to the Father." And now we see a picture that before Jesus Christ ascends to the Father, he goes and reaches out to the heartbroken Mary. He reaches out to her. And what we see here is that Jesus Christ, when he asks Mary, why are you crying and who you're looking for, he shows concern. He shows concern. He shows concern. He cares for her. He cares about what she's going through. So he says, what's going on? What's happening? Tell me, why are you crying? What is actually going on in you? And God is so close to the brokenhearted, because he goes and reaches out to them, and he says, "What's going on? Talk to me. Tell me." And he wants us to pour out our hearts to him. Jesus cares for the heartbroken. He cares for them. He cares. And I want you to hear this truth, that Jesus Christ, because he cares for you, he wants you to invite him in your pain. He wants you to invite him in your pain so that you can experience his goodness. You know, when we're experiencing pain, when our hearts are broken, you know, we want to get that pain away. That's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to get that pain away. We want to get that heartbreak away, and We don't want to experience this suffering anymore. And Jesus Christ, you know, he comes to us. He comes to the brokenhearted, and he wants to walk with us even in our very own pain. Jesus Christ identifies with our pain. And that's what we see through the resurrection, that Jesus Christ empathizes with our pain, not because he knows about it, but because he has experienced it. He has experienced the pain. He has experienced the suffering. So he knows how you feel. He knows your experience. He knows you. And he wants to hear your story. And he says, what's going on? Why are you crying? What's happening? Tell me what's going on. Because he wants to be invited in your pain so that you can experience his goodness. Invite Jesus in your pain to experience his goodness. A broken heart is an open heart because it is vulnerable. It is vulnerable. Vulnerable to receive. Vulnerable to hear something new. Vulnerable. And in our brokenness, I believe that our true desires are actually revealed in our brokenness. That we long for something bigger than the things that we have lost. We long for something greater than these things that we have lost. And the relationship that we have lost. The job opportunity we have lost. Because in there, God wants to come through and work through and in our own brokenness. Now, I just want to look at three things that we see in this passage of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it relates to the brokenness. And I think the first thing is that when Mary, the heartbroken, meets Jesus Christ, he gives her a new identity. He gives her a new identity. And this is what happens in verse 16. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus said to her, Mary. And that is profound, because in Jesus saying to Mary, just calling her by name, he says, you know what? I actually see you. I see you in your pain. I see you in your suffering. Actually, I care about you and I love you right there in your pain. And he gives her a new identity, because a broken heart is prone to think that our very identity is in the things that we have lost. Jesus Christ says, actually, no, you know what? I know you. So your meaning, your sense of identity is not in the things that you have lost, but in Jesus Christ, in him, because he cares and he knows you and he calls you by name. He calls you by name. Sometimes things that break us can define us. If we dwell much on them, they can define us. Sometimes we can feel like our sense of self-worth is lost because the job that I was hoping for is gone. The relationship I was hoping for is gone. The health that I was hoping for is gone. All these things that I was hoping for are gone. My heart is crushed. And we feel like the very sense of our self-worth is lost. But Jesus Christ calls us by name and he says, you know what? I value you. I see you. I value you. I see you. You're not just a woman, but your name is Mary. You're not just a man, but your name is Joseph. Your name is this. I know you. I value you. And I care for you. So he gives us a new identity when we come and invite Jesus Christ to work in our pain. When we invite Jesus Christ to come and be with us in our pain, he gives us a new identity. And not only that, but he gives us a new mission. He gives us a new mission. And we see this in verse 17. The Bible says, Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, to my God and your God. And Jesus Christ gives Mary a different mission. All now she was tempted to share only was just about the suffering, the pain, and the struggle that she has had, and would just be, I experienced this, and that would be the end. But now Jesus Christ wants Mary to say, you know what, I've experienced this heartbreak, but this is how I'm seeing God in this heartbreak. This is how I'm seeing God in this thing. So he says, go and tell them. God, tell them that you have seen the Lord, you met him, and I'm going to your Father, who is also your Father, to your God, who is also your God. And that's profound, because I think reading throughout, John, this is the first time that Christ actually says, my Father is also your Father now. You know, my God is also your God. And he gives them a new, he gives her a new mission. That now there's something bigger that you can share. You know, I found that through the heartbreaks, through the pain that we have, you know, great ministries come out of these things. As the book, the Bible says in Corinthians, that we have experienced pain because God brings other people who have experienced the same thing so we can minister to them. And great ministries come out of pain and come out of suffering. And what are you suffering? What is your pain? What are you going through? And how does God want to have you on his mission through the pain, through the suffering that you have, that you are going through? Because God identifies with your pain. Jesus identifies with your pain. And Jesus tells her, now you will tell and proclaim about the reason, Lord, that we can proclaim about the reason, Lord, even in our very pain. And through Jesus' resurrection, we have a new mission. Because a broken heart always thinks this pain will never end. But through the resurrection, we have hope that our pain will end. Sometimes we'll not be in this life, but we know in the life to come that our pain will cease in his presence. Amen. A new mission brings excitement. And there is no better news to proclaim than the resurrection of the Lord. Because in proclaiming the mission of God, now we have a new purpose. We have something greater to live for. We have something bigger to live for. And the last thing that we see, even in the verse 17, when he says, go to my brothers. Jesus says, go to my brothers and tell them I'm going to my God and their God, my Father and their Father. He gives her a new community. He gives her this new belonging, that you belong to a greater community that is actually connected to the Father. And I think one of the gifts that God has given to Christians to help us through our pain is actually the community. It's actually us. Jesus has given us one another that we can help each other through pain. You know, and we don't need to have answers because we often do not have answers to what people are going through. But just being there, you know, just being there for someone, being there, to just be there for someone else. And it means a lot of things for different people. And, you know, sometimes just to hear their story, like Jesus says to Mary, what's going on? Tell me, why are you crying? You know, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Just tell me what's going on. And just to lend an ear and just to sympathize with people and just hear their story. And it is through this community that God has chosen to heal us and to move with us in our own pain. That as we are experiencing the suffering, that there are others that are coming alongside us. There are other people that are there for us. So we have a new belonging. We have this family that Jesus Christ is inviting us into. And this family, there's no discrimination at all, because everybody is here. In fact, one of the values here at Flat Church that I love is weak people growing together. That's our value. Weak people growing together. It means we recognize that we are weak. We recognize that we are weak, but also we can help one another grow. And in that growth, there is no judgment whatsoever, because we are all weak. And we are growing together through the help of God. So God has given us a new community, has given us this community that he would bring his healing through that community. When you invite Jesus Christ in your pain, he gives you a new identity, a new mission, and a new belonging, a new family. So bring your heart to Jesus Christ, for he does not despise broken heart. He does not despise a broken heart. He is close to a broken heart. And he uses our brokenness for his glory. He uses our brokenness for his glory. Through the resurrection, we see that God is involved in the affairs of men, in the affairs of men. And that this changes the way now we view pain. This changes the way now we view our suffering. That our suffering is not just in vain at all, but God is in it. If we invite him, that he would come through and work. Yesterday, I was talking to Mwai, and when I was asking her if it is okay for me to share her story, and I was just asking her, since I saw her a week ago and now, and how she is, and she says this to me, you know what, Humphreys, I think this is one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it opened my rhythm. This is one of the best things that ever happened to me. Because it has opened me to a better relationship with God. This is somebody that has a lot of pain and says this pain is actually the best thing that ever happened to them. She says, I have a better relationship with God, one of trust, one of dependence. I try not to lie on things outside his word. Because of the cross. And I said to her, why do you have this so much faith and in this pain? Why? And she says, because of the cross. Because of the cross. And she says, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm grateful for every day. This is somebody's story that through their pain, they have seen, they have invited Jesus Christ in their own pain. Next week, she's going to be going through treatment again. And she has invited Jesus Christ to work in her pain, because God works in our pain. Right there, when our hearts are broken, he is there. He is there. Jesus does not condemn the brokenhearted. And when someone around you, but when somebody around you is crushed, empathize with them. Their pain is real. Empathize with them. Their pain is real. I had a hard time writing this message because there's just so much that's going on around us. So much pain that's going on around us. But when people are going through pain, let's empathize with them. One of the things that I want to share is, I was talking to my friend Harry a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know what, Humphreys, there's a lot of discrimination around mental health. When people are, you know, struggling and going through mental health, there's just a lot of discrimination. If somebody is sick with malaria, people will be like, oh, you go to the doctor and you take la and you'll be okay. If you're you are coughing or whatever, you know, people do not say, you know, they empathize with you. But when it comes to mental health, you know, people, you know, tend to discriminate and judge a lot. And just, you know, people say get help, but not in a good way. Like, you know, just get help, but not in a way that we show that we care for other people. And I thought about that a lot. And, you know, I'm married to an OT, an occupational therapist, so Kate, my wife, knows more about mental health, and I don't really know more about it. But I felt like, isn't that sad that we as a community, you know, we cannot see that? Isn't it sad that we do not sympathize with somebody else who has mental health? And I want to invite you guys, let's be a community that's there for other people. Let's sympathize when other people are going through difficult times, are going through pain, because that's what Jesus does. He just comes alongside us. Sometimes the pain never goes away, but having a friend there, it's much better. Having a friend there is much better. So if other people around you are going through a hard time, do not condemn them, but take the example of Jesus Christ, and walk with them. And if your heart is broken, know that through the resurrection, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It is done. Your pain will end if it's not in this life, but we know in the next life that your pain will end because Jesus has finished it all. And sometimes, you know, we break other people's hearts because of our, you know, negligence, because we never paid attention to what people are going through. You know, let's take care of other people's hearts. And if you have broken someone else's heart, know that God loves you and he has so much grace for you and he loves you a lot. And if there's something that you can do for that, you know, take a step of faith and mend things. You know, apologize to people, ask for forgiveness, because that's how we show that God is actually involved in our affairs. That's how we show the power of his resurrection. So if you have broken some people's hearts, may you go and make things right. The healing to a broken heart is in the value that we give to Jesus as our reality and our expectation. For when we invite him in our pain, he will walk with us. When we invite him in our pain, he will walk with us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, even in our pain. You are there, Lord. You are there reaching out to us, oh God. And you will walk with us in our very brokenness. So we thank you for through the resurrection, we have hope. We have hope in Christ that it is finished in him. We give you glory and we invite you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.